Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyar, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, Doug. No. Doug McBurney's
here
in studio.
I'm not on.
Oh, I'm on.
There you are, Doug. Howdy.
It was a bad mic.
Welcome.
Bob, how are you?
It must be Friday.
It must be Friday. Everyone's asleep at the wheel. But what a great time. I'm so thankful for you to have me in the studio, Bob.
Well, we always have fun Friday nights. We always have a lot to talk about.
But I'm a little worried. Bob, it's a slow news day. Could you call it a slow news day or a no news day?
No news. There's nothing.
Bob is on. You're on the wire services right now.
Yeah,
right? We're trying to find something of value, something of import.
We talked about the sniper being arrested yesterday.
He hasn't been executed yet.
We had the president of the Gun Owners of America on the show last night.
Right, right.
So that's been done.
And there's just today. There's just
no
not
news.
Much. So we need callers.
And this is a live call and talk show, and there's no news. So
callers, please. The number to call is 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Maybe there's something that's happened in your personal life that's of import. But there's just nothing really buzzing on the wires for us today.
No news. There's
nothing really.
Nothing is.
But, you know, I did want to get your take. By the way, the number to call, 800-836-9278. Help us carry the program through, please.
Doug, the phones are full.
Well, briefly, though, before we go to the phones.
Yeah, but I mean, let's tell people, wait until you hear somebody hang up.
Wait until you hear someone hang up and then help us out because there's just.
See, you asked for the calls and they came.
Yeah. Do you want to just go to the calls? And
no.
Then
no.
Because I wanted to get your take on. I've been following the story of the hostage crisis in Moscow, and I don't know what to think about it. I mean, it's obviously horrifying and terrifying.
It is horrifying, and what should be done? Let me tell you, the first thing I said to Cheryl when this happened.
Yeah, what do you do if you let's say you're the mayor of Moscow or the head of the regiment?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well, the first thing I would have done if I had the technical ability, is. You know, this happened right before Act Two of a popular musical.
Right.
So it must have been in the evening around 9, 10 o'clock at night. I would have that night about 3 o'clock. Of course, the hostage takers, the terrorists are going to be filled with adrenaline, but it's going to get late. And I would have pumped the building, if I had the ability to do it, with gas to put everybody asleep. If I could have done it. I don't know if I'd have that ability in being in Russia. You know, they can't even afford gas for their police cars.
Bob, that's the most brilliant idea I've heard, and I've asked around.
Huh.
I have come up with nothing.
Yeah, I would have pumped
that's
the building
brilliant.
With gas.
You wait till they're already getting tired.
Right.
And then
it's 3 a.m., and they're getting tired as it is.
Right, right.
And then they get a little extra tired, and they're thinking, I'm getting tired. What's happening? And they have to think as they're falling asleep, should I kill myself or should I take a nap? What should I do? Well, maybe if I take a nap, then I'll be able to figure out what to do. I'll take a 5-minute nap.
And by then, they're out.
And hopefully, they're out. And then you go and you take out all the hostages.
Right.
And you leave all the terrorists in there. And then you blow up the building. Well, you might want to save the building.
Let them blow themselves up if that's what they really want to do.
Yeah. You know, they're using the orchestra pit as a lavatory, as the bathroom.
Man, that's got to be. Oh, man.
Over 600 people in there. They were surviving on the chocolate that
right,
you can
right.
buy at the snack bar
at the concessions,
and water.
Yeah,
chocolate and water. And of course, one person has been killed already. And you cannot give in because it's just an invitation for it to happen again.
Right, right. You can't meet their demands. Pull out of Chechnya. That's their demands.
Right, and obviously in Chechnya. Now, I heard. You know, it's not a story we follow every hour, the latest update, but I heard a report that they had released Muslims.
Muslims and some children.
A few children.
First night,
You heard that too.
Mm-hmm,
So that they released Muslims, and they're obviously, you know, everybody's against racial profiling.
Oh, yeah. That's terrible stuff.
Well, and, you know, you're again, in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. Who was it?
Let's see.
Was it white stockbrokers or Muslim extremists?
B. We'll go with Muslim extremists on that one.
And you could go through, you know, 7 or 8 years where we've had U.S. embassies and military bases bombed. Was it Who was it? Was it white frat boys from Michigan, or was it Muslim extremists?
Was it militia members? White Midwestern militia members?
Right. In 1972, back with the Olympic Games in Munich, when the Israeli team was
disgruntled
murdered.
Jewish accountants.
Right. Hasidic rabbis or Muslim extremists.
Muslim extremists, that's right.
Yeah, and over just... Yeah, just right now, the sniper.
The sniper. Let's see. What was his name?
Italian-Americans?
Irish?
Or Muslim extremists. Now, he was a different brand of Muslim.
Yeah.
He was a Louis Farrakhan type. Yeah.
Plastic banana Muslim.
Nation of Islam.
Those guys.
He was a security guard, it's been reported.
Yeah.
At the Million Man Mooch.
Yeah.
Louis
really?
Farrakhan's
no way.
Million Man Mooch. He was a
Is
security guard.
Is that right?
Guard. Yeah.
Now, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
That is so is Farrakhan being called on the carpet over there at CNN?
Well, he converted to Nation of Islam during a particularly violent time in that movement a decade ago. And so, right, he's heard the extremist philosophy, just a different brand of Muslim extremism.
Well, I've read several wire reports, and in each wire report I come across, his identity is stated somewhat similar to this. He was a Gulf War veteran. Right. And then a little later in the article, you find out that he changed his name to Muhammad, and he was a...
Oh, what was his name? John?
Williams or Wilson?
John, Muhammad?
Oh, yeah, Muhammad.
Muhammad.
He changed his name to Muhammad.
Another terrorist named Muhammad.
But both the AP, the UPI, and Reuters all put the fact that he was a Gulf War veteran before the fact that he was a Muslim.
Yeah, 9/11. That Atta guy, what was that guy's name? Atta?
Muhammad Atta.
Muhammad
Atta. Atta, that's right. Yeah.
And, you know, over and over, we've got a problem with Muslim extremists, and so racial profiling is especially appropriate.
Well, but I think we could feel a lot more self-righteous if we avoid racial profiling, and that's what's really important.
So, Doug, we got calls to start with from Michigan
wall-to-wall
and Indiana.
Wall-to-wall calls.
So we know that the one call is about welfare.
And the other one's from Bourbon. So you go with the Bourbon early in the show, I always say.
All right. So Bourbon, Indiana. Tommy, speak your mind.
Bob.
Yes.
Hey, this is Tommy.
Hi, Tommy.
You remember me?
Now, the way you said that, I think I need to remember you. I think I do remember you from Indiana. When's the last time we saw each other, Tommy?
Oh, it'd have to be years.
Years ago, but I do remember your voice. Isn't that uncanny? Tommy, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. And boy, do I miss that greetings from the brightest audience in the country.
All right. Well, hey, Doug McBurney's here in studio. It's Friday night.
Hey, Tommy, what's happening in Bourbon?
Nothing.
I told you, it's a slow news day. There's nothing going on.
Nothing
how
today.
How do we fill in an entire hour on the radio on a news day as slow as today? Tommy, he'll hold through the break, and when Tommy hangs up, give us a call, 800-836-9278.
It's a live commercial break. Doug, what can we tell the audience about?
I got a letter here, Bob.
Yeah.
Hot out of the P.O. box.
All right.
P.O. box 511 Arvada. Or no, yeah. P.O. box
583 Arvada. Yeah.
P.O. box 583 Arvada, Colorado 80001. If people wanted to write in the old-fashioned way.
Right.
We got a letter from Eric. He says, "Dear Pastor Enyart."
Eric,
isn't that cool?
Eric Mueller. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know if he wanted to remain anonymous. Probably not, since he sent us the letter.
Yeah.
Chances are he doesn't mind if we read it. He says, "Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm 20 years old, and I've been saved since I was four." Saved since he was four. "When I was around 14 years old, I started reading the Bible on my own. Till this day, I still read the Bible every day."
6 years. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's only 20. That's right. Yeah. Young guy. He says, however, he's talking about reading the Bible, and he says a however. "However, many of the things I read seem confusing and contradicting." "Then one night..."
We hear that all the time.
I hear that incessantly, all the time. "Then one night," he says, "early this spring, I was flipping through the radio stations, and I heard your show for the first time. I became addicted and listened to it every night."
Cool.
Yeah. I hear that all the time,
too. Hi, Eric.
I hear that happen all the time. He says, this August passed, I ordered the plot, which is your manuscript, on the overview of the Bible.
And now he won't tune in anymore.
And no, he says, I just finished it yesterday. Now, he bought it in August, and he finished it in October. Now, folks, it doesn't have to take that long, but sometimes you get into it. And
yeah, a few hundred pages.
Yeah, it's a good book. I just finished it yesterday, and I must say that it's simply brilliant. Everything makes sense now. I'm very thankful for your ministry.
Wow, and we're out of time.
That God continues to bless you.
Order the plot right here, 808 Enyart. All right.
We're back live, still doing
commercial. Commercial break for people listening on the internet.
On the internet. They didn't get to hear Eric's
archives. No, yeah.
From our earlier commercial.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, they got to hear it. Oh,
yeah, everybody got to hear that, but now we still got another 40 seconds or so. But you know what? When we come back on the air in 38 seconds from now, let's just finish that.
Okay.
Right?
We'll
give the phone number and we'll let people know. Just that last line again.
Okay.
And I think Tommy will hold on.
Yeah, Tommy will hang.
He'll hang for it will take 20 more seconds.
Yeah. And if you wanted to order the plot.
It's
only $49.95.
Right.
$50 to possibly change your life. Literally. Can you understanding the Bible better changes people's lives?
It's really fun.
$50, 888-8-NYAR, 888-836-9278, 888-836-9278.
Hey, we're back, and this is live radio. Doug, we even do the commercials live, and wow, that letter that was too nice. Eric Mueller.
Yeah, he says he finished the plot in August.
Reading the manuscript that years ago I wrote about the overview of the whole Bible.
Yeah, now he bought it in August. He finished it just a few days ago, and he says, I must say that it's simply brilliant.
Oh, thank you, Eric.
Everything, he's talking about the Bible. He says, everything makes sense now. I'm very thankful for your ministry, and I pray that God may continue to bless you. Sincerely, Eric Mueller.
Isn't that neat? And it's so easy if you start with an overview of the Bible, then all these confusing details begin to make sense. But if you just work on the details, forget it.
Right.
You'll always be confused.
Yeah, get to know the overview, get to know the book, and you'll get to know the author better.
So people out there, you could call us and order the plot if you'd like to, and we'd be thrilled. If you don't like it, money back guarantee.
888-836-9278 if you want to order.
All right. Let's go back to Bourbon, Indiana. Hey, Tommy, how did you guys get that name anyway, Bourbon, Indiana?
I have no idea. From the liquor, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, welcome to the show. What's up?
Well, you were just talking about the plot. I read that.
You did?
All right.
Yeah.
Now, was
it's
that?
It's been a long time ago.
A long time ago. All right.
Well, what was it about, Tommy?
We don't want to put you on the spot here. We'll give a
it was good.
What
really
we'll
good.
Give you a quiz. Chapter? No, I'm only kidding. So, Tommy, what's up?
Oh, well, let's see. I'm dabbling in the TV ministry a little bit.
Dabbling in TV? That's dangerous.
Just dabbling.
Be
got
careful.
My own little studio going.
All right.
Whatever happened to the TV show? I got a lot of stuff taped.
You know what? There was so much competition from guys setting up studios in their basement that we just had to get out of the business.
That's what I thought.
Tommy, we canceled the show for financial reasons. Bob and Yurt Live was rather successful as far as building an audience. In fact, the Nielsen rating showed that, we were one of the most popular shows on in, whatever market we're in, and we would beat primetime shows even though we were on at midnight, and we'd compete favorably with the networks.
Yeah.
What was the late night shows back then? Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
And reruns of
MASH.
Northern Exposure.
Yeah, Northern Exposure.
Whatever. And we did pretty well against those shows, against the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
We would sometimes do well or win.
Yeah.
Tommy,
there was a statistical analysis that showed in order to be successful on Christian television, you basically have to ask for money every 30 to 40 seconds. And Bob just couldn't do it.
I'm not good at I'm not a good administrator or a salesman.
Or a beggar.
So Tommy, so the show went off for financial reasons.
So killing the spiders and the smashing the tomatoes just didn't work out, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, it went over tremendously well, Tommy. But you know what it was is people perceived the show in a secular manner because Bob didn't really present it as
a
religious ministry.
Fundraising
right.
show.
And so people perceived it that way, and They didn't send enough.
Anyway,
money.
We had a lot of fun. We got a lot of people saved. A lot of homosexuals.
Yeah.
Straightened out.
Yeah.
A lot of pro-aborts, atheists.
Pulled people back from the edge.
Yeah. And so we had a lot of fun. And now we're on radio.
I got about 70 of them taped.
All right.
I've been watching those throughout the years.
All right. Well, hey, Tommy, thank you for giving us an update.
All right.
I'm glad.
I hope to see you again, Bob.
God bless you. I do hope to see you again real soon.
All right,
soon.
Now Tommy's dropped off, so that's your opportunity to get on the show because it's such a slow news day. We don't have a lot going on as far as off-the-wire services or in the news. So
that's right.
800-8-NYARD is the number to call, 800-836-9278.
Now let's go to Marshall, Michigan. Mark, speak your mind.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Bob.
Howdy.
Hi, Mark.
How's it going?
Good.
Pretty fantastic, actually.
Well, I had a question about marriage.
All right.
I'm about the same age as you there, Bob. I'm 43.
All right.
I'm in a wheelchair.
Oh.
And I've never been married, but I'm living on a disability income. And I was wondering, would it be irresponsible of me as a Christian man to have a wife?
No, it wouldn't be irresponsible at all.
Well, do you want a wife?
I would like a wife, yes.
Well, then you need a wife. And, good
but,
for you.
But the, being on disability, for one, that's sort of like that's like fiancé repellent.
Right.
Being on disability.
Right.
It's worse than body odor. And so that would be a good start is to free yourself from that government enslavement program.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark. You know, you could probably get a job working on the phone. You ever think about that? Helping a large sales organization with phone solicitation type things?
How about a small organization like Bob Enyart Live?
There we go.
Yeah, but
we
do
a lot of phone
on,
work.
You make more on disability.
Yes,
you make more.
But there, yeah, you know, there are opportunities out there for a guy like you, Mark. Just because you're in a wheelchair doesn't really mean you have to be on disability. You can still earn a living.
Mark, I know people. I'm thinking of one guy who was born with severe disabilities, and I'll give you a description of his disabilities. All right, he was born with half of one leg and no fingers on either hand.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite a disability to start with, right? Would you say that's pretty severe?
Yeah.
Okay, and what he does is he writes books, and a while back he invited his parents over to his house for a mortgage-burning party because he was burning his mortgage. But what his parents didn't know that when he paid off his own house in 5 years, he also paid off their home, unbeknownst to them. And when they came over that night, he burned both mortgages.
Yeah.
Wow.
But if
that's
he,
awesome.
Isn't that great?
That is awesome.
But if the government would have gotten him onto a disability program, he would have always thought that he couldn't do hardly anything other than barely survive on his monthly check.
Yep.
So it enslaves you. It makes you think of that you're worthless rather than what you could accomplish.
It definitely takes away your ambition and hopes and dreams.
Yeah, it does all that. It's a sin for the government to offer these welfare programs. So and it sounds like you agree that it would be a discouragement to a woman to you know.
Well, yeah, I see that. As a Christian man, it's sort of the man's responsibility to take care of the wife. So.
Right.
Living on a disability income, that hinders that quite a bit.
And I was, Cheryl and I married, and I was disabled.
You were?
Yeah, I was a right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice,
right.
Talk show host.
Tough to get a
who
job.
Who couldn't get a paycheck if it meant my life.
Yeah.
And we got married, and so far, we've paid the bills. So, and you do what you have to do. But when the government says, well, you don't have to get a job because we don't think you can. We think you're incapable. So we'll give you this measly check every month so you can barely survive and gradually fall deeper and deeper into depression.
Yep.
That's a government program.
Those politicians need to be held accountable for what they've done in the name of liberal kindness.
Yeah. If you know, if they all were killed in a plane crash,
yeah,
I wouldn't shed a tear.
Wouldn't even bear mentioning.
No.
And, hey, Mark.
Yes.
So what do you think you want to do? You want to get a wife?
I would love to have a wife. I've been wanting a wife for a long time.
But you think you might need a job first?
Well, I would like to have a nice job too, but
all right,
I,
Mark.
You know,
now,
do
you have any skills?
I don't know.
Okay, well, you seem to speak fairly clearly.
Yeah, you speak very well. And aside from being on disability, you seem to have wisdom, and at least you know it's not a good thing.
Yeah, you're intelligent, Mark.
Well, you gain wisdom when you grow older.
That does happen to those who are willing.
And especially when you study the Bible, you definitely gain wisdom.
Amen.
All right, well, Mark, you stay on the line. We're going to put you on hold, but I want you to give your phone number to our call screener.
Sure.
And we're going to see about getting you a job. All right?
All right.
I'm serious, Mark. Stay on the line so we can get your phone number.
All right.
All right.
All right. Now,
you,
this is
Mark.
Not an employment agency. So
no,
we don't
it's
want,
not.
We don't want people calling up asking for a job.
Right.
But, you know, I just happened to think of some friends of mine who might have something that Mark could do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he could still stay on his disability and do something until he gets himself set up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can stop having the government steal money for him and give it to him.
You know, we've talked to people even recently who said, well, I can't start making money because my benefits will be cut.
Yeah, right.
And so it's like a trap. It's like drugs.
Right. So in order to help Mark get out of that situation, we might be forced to lie to the government.
Yeah.
And do it under the table, a black market type thing.
Yeah.
Which I'm really against that kind of thing. But I think what the government's doing to Mark, I think it's deplorable. And I think we need to fight it.
It's stealing, for one. They're stealing from people to buy votes, basically.
Right, right, to ensure their cushy 10 grand a month
job.
But,
Doug, don't worry, because everything's going to get better, because the Republicans might take the Senate back.
Okay, now that brings me to an issue, Bob.
What?
Now, I know it's a slow news day, so this is an opportunity for me to vent about this entire political season.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how it is in the other states, but here in Colorado, there's been an avalanche of political advertising.
Let me tell you, it's the same in every state, but go ahead.
Now, I've only been politically sentient maybe for 10 years.
Okay.
But I cannot remember it being like this. I mean, every other commercial on the radio and on the television.
Mm-hmm.
That may be a slight exaggeration,
well,
but it's only slight.
Well, in Colorado, we have a record spending for the Senate.
$30 million?
Campaigns.
And that most
no,
of that...
No, $10 million.
Oh, $10
million.
Yeah. And that most of that goes to television
ads.
And radio ads.
Yeah, right.
Which television and radio ads can only appeal to the lowest common... The biggest morons in society
which
vote based
pretty
on.
Much is everyone.
Right.
About the entire electorate.
Yeah, it's just pathetic
well,
and
not
embarrassing.
Really, but a huge percent.
Well, I want to thank you, Bob, for helping me to come to the decision not to participate in Democratic elections.
Really?
My reputation will not be tarnished by having participated in Democratic elections.
It is discouraging.
It is.
Because conservative Christians, they think that if only we educate the people will rise up and do what's right.
Yeah, well.
And say, let me ask you a question. Let's say there's a Republican running for Senate.
Okay.
And he makes it. And he's totally pro-life.
All right, let's say he's pro-life, even in the case of rape and incest.
Right,
let's
he's
say.
A true pro-lifer. I'm asking the studio audience here. Total pro-lifer.
He's one of us. He's hardcore.
And he's a Christian, and he makes it, and he's in the Senate.
Yeah.
And George W. Bush helped to campaign for him.
I'm sure he would, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's in the Senate, and now Bush has his first chance to appoint a judge to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Okay.
And he appoints, well, let's say he appoints his good friend at the White House. He appoints a pro-abortion lawyer judge to the U.S. Supreme Court. Will this Republican pro-life Christian vote to nominate or against nomination of a pro-abortion judge who was nominated by Bush?
He's a Republican.
Republican.
He's pro-life.
Yeah.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
He votes to confirm.
Right. Live commercial break right here, Bob and Yurt Live.
Bob, I got to tell you, I got my first installment of your Bible study.
Oh, you did?
Just last week in
because
the mail.
You just signed up?
I signed up.
On the air, I think. We were on the air.
Right, I signed up, and I got my first tapes going through. It's the very first tapes. Now, I've been going to the Bible study.
For years.
Yeah, and I'm familiar with the plot. I know normally you start folks out in the plot.
Yeah.
But there must have been a determination made here at headquarters that I've already got that.
You already had the
grip
plot.
On that. So I started with Romans.
Romans.
And how phenomenal is this?
Oh.
I've only been through the first.
Praise the Lord.
I've only been through the first tape and a half.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a tape player in the car.
I think
I'm going to trade in my truck.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get a vehicle with a tape player.
Okay.
Because it would double or triple my ability to listen to the tapes.
To listen to tapes, yeah.
Phenomenal.
Really? The Roman study.
The Roman study is
I'll give
tremendous.
You an hour to cut that out,
just
Doug.
A tremendous
I'm glad
study.
To hear that. You know, because we do these studies and we hope they're good, but for us we live it. It's hard to
Well, I mean, I've read Romans on several occasions.
Yeah.
And I've got to tell you, just in the first tape and a half, I'm getting more out of the first few verses of Romans.
You know what really is my favorite part of the book of Romans? I think Romans chapter 2.
Romans chapter 2.
It is just, and I waited. Now, I've been teaching the Bible for a long time, since the early 70s.
Right.
But I waited for a quarter of a century to teach Romans.
Yeah.
Because I was not ready to teach the book, and especially Romans 2.
Really?
Because it was too overwhelming. And finally, we decided, after years of study and understanding the Bible, the overview applied to the details, I thought we were ready to teach the book of Romans and have it make sense.
Yeah.
And it's been exciting. We're almost done.
You're almost done, and I'm just getting started.
Yeah,
so
we're almost done with the book.
This is going to go
on
for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
I got a lot of tapes to look forward to.
A few months' worth of tapes.
Yeah, and for a measly $25 a month. $25, not even that, $24.95.
Hey,
and that includes shipping,
savings.
Right?
Yeah, that includes shipping.
$24.95 includes shipping.
And shipping is expensive.
It's going up all the time. But this, Bob, this is a study that could go on. I mean, for as long as you're teaching, I could be enjoying these tapes for a measly $25. What is that? That's less than a dollar a day.
Mm. And then people could get the monthly album.
Get the albums?
Where you get the whole Romans Volume 1 album, $34.95 a month, and every month you get a new album.
If there's more than one volume, I'm stoked. 888-8-N-YARD.
NYARD 1-800-836-9278. So, all right, so Doug,
I was just going to keep whining about the election, but
if a Republican Christian,
hardcore
pro life, if he's counseled against abortion, him and his wife,
yeah,
and if he's against abortion, even in the cases of rape and incest, he's totally against abortion,
right?
And Bush is very likely to nominate.
Now, what makes you think that George Bush's first nominee would be a pro-abort, Bob?
Because he filled the Texas Supreme Court when he was governor of Texas. He filled the Texas Supreme Court with pro-abortion judges.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so he, yeah. So
but,
he,
Bob, I mean, if we get the Senate back, I'm talking like a Republican here. Playing devil's advocate. If we get the Senate back, then Bush will appoint pro-life judges because he knows he can get them confirmed.
No,
it's so important.
We already know who he's going to appoint. His first U.S. Supreme Court appointee will be his White House counsel, who he brought with him from Texas, who he put on the Texas Supreme Court, who is a radical pro-abort. So anyway, the pro-life Republican Christian senator will vote to confirm Bush's pro-abortion nominee.
Right. He'll vote with the guy who got him the $20,000 a month job.
Well,
because Bush is going to help him get elected, right?
Yeah.
Sure,
right.
Bush is going to help him get elected.
So I have a hard time getting excited, since the Republican Party has proved to us that even when they have the White House, they fill the U.S. Supreme Court with pro-abortion judges, the state Supreme Courts with pro-abortion judges, and So get excited about a Republican who says he's pro-life?
Well, Bob, all the ads, that's one of the things I wanted to complain about.
I'm past that.
The conservative Republican ad comes on, and he talks about how he's saving the wetlands and giving money to working families and single mothers.
How about the Christian conservative governor of Colorado running for re-election?
Right, right. Christian conservative, what's his name there?
Governor Owens. And he's fully funded government schools.
Thank you.
For the first time.
Thank you.
Millions of dollars.
That includes metal detectors and police officers.
And he's given more millions, extra millions of dollars.
To welfare programs.
So yeah, the Republican conservatives campaign and brag about all the liberal things they're doing.
Right. And then the liberals come on and talk about all the liberal things they did. It's a liberal love fest.
During the primaries, the Republican candidates talk like they're hardcore conservatives.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Christian conservatives. Yep. And then in the general election, they're middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they win, they're liberal.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way it works.
Yeah.
That's the way it
always
works.
You know
what?
I got a perfect example. Bill Simon or Mark Simon or Paul Simon or whoever's running for governor of California.
Oh.
He was on Sean Hannity's show today.
Yeah.
Sean asked him a question about abortion. And within four words... Bill Simon had changed the topic to tax cuts.
Oh, really?
Within four words.
Really?
Seamless transition.
I'm against tax-funded abortions.
No, he didn't even. He went right on. He said, you know, my family and my faith are the most important thing to me, and that's why tax cuts are important for California. And that's his position on abortion.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Right.
And Sean Hannity let him get away with it.
Wow.
Because he's sold out to the Republicans. Anyway, we should go to the phones. All Enough right. whining about democracy. The number to call when someone hangs up is 800-8-NYARD.
All right, let's go to Muncie, Indiana. Kirk, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob and Doug. I'm going to join Doug and boycott this election, too.
Amen, brother.
Future elections, hopefully.
And future.
This is the first time, I think, in my life where I realize voting for the Republicans is not going to do any good whatsoever. So I think I'm just going to...
You're coming around quite nicely, Kirk.
I was on the air in, when was it, 94, when the Republicans had a landslide in Congress.
I had a Newt Gingrich T-shirt.
Doug.
I hated you that year, Bob. I want you to know.
Kirk, you hated me that year.
I did,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because Rush was, right. You know, I was into Rush Limbaugh, and I was so happy the Republicans took over Congress.
I know.
And you got on that night, and you said, What is this going to do? Is things going to get better or are they going to get worse?
In two
and you
years,
said they were going to get worse.
That was
I turned on Rush's TV show and didn't watch you the rest of that night.
That was in 1994. My audience was ecstatic because the Republicans had taken the House.
I was dancing in the streets.
And I went on the air and said, I don't want to rain on your parade. You guys are going to tune out. You're going to turn off. But in 2 years, things are going to be worse. They're not going to be any better. And the Republican Party has shown us for decades that they don't know right from wrong. They can't fix our problems. They don't know what it would mean to fix the problems. They can't even recognize the problems. And so if this is a failure, and this system is a failure, and there's no way the majority is going to vote for righteousness. It's just not going to happen.
If the Republicans ever get control again, they'll have to keep compromising to maintain control. So.
But, Kirk, we can always rely on the immortal words of Bob Dole or whoever it was.
Maybe
it was Orrin Hatch.
Yeah.
What did he say? If you're going at a cliff.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
If you're driving toward a cliff at 100 miles
an
hour.
This was real. Yeah, I remember this. This is from a few years ago. He said the Democrats are going for a cliff at 100 miles an hour, and we Republicans just want us to slow down a little bit.
He actually said that.
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah, that's where they lost me.
That's really, I mean, that really describes the Republican Party platform. Let's just commit national suicide a little bit slower.
Just a little bit slower. That's putting it in a nutshell. Very concise.
If, like, you know, welfare is stealing, so the Republicans have their own way to do stealing,
mm-hmm.
and let's funnel the money through the churches so they can be the middlemen.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Right. And let's – how about prescription drugs for seniors?
Oh, they're all going to get – I'll tell you one thing. I guarantee you, Bob, no matter who wins, all the old people get their drugs. That is going to happen.
You can't out-drug a Republican who's campaigning.
Yeah, they were the ones who declared the war on drugs, and now apparently they've surrendered. And everybody's going to get free drugs
right.
no matter who wins.
Right. And so it's just – despicable. It's
Oh, so we get a note here from the studio audience. Invest now in drug companies.
Yeah, right.
Probably a wise decision. The only portion of the economy that'll go up.
Yeah. All right. So, Kirk, anything else?
Well, one other thing about Bush. He did, when he was in Texas, he did one other thing that was quite interesting. He named a highway after noted abortionist John B. Coleman. So,
I didn't know that.
What?
I didn't know that, but...
And then when they questioned him about it, he said, well, I didn't know he was an abortionist or something like that. It was,
yeah, he thought he invented the camping lantern or something.
I had a question, though. I'm debating another problem within the conservative movement, the libertarian crowd. And they're not only liberal on almost every social issue, but they also seem to be almost pacifist when it comes to war. I mean, the Libertarian Party opposed the war in Afghanistan, for goodness sake, and now they're opposed to doing anything in Iraq.
All right.
And I'm just wondering, if the United States, for no other reason than they wanted to get rid of Saddam Hussein and overthrow the Iraqi government, would that be biblically moral, even if there was no self-defense issues involved?
Well, sure. Saddam Hussein is a murderer, murders his own people, murders his own son-in-laws.
Yeah.
And if we wanted to liberate the people of Iraq, we would have the moral right to do so. But since we also have our own self-interest that he's a terrorist, then that's all the more reason to do it.
Yeah. It would be wrong for the Iraqi citizens to overthrow the government?
Yes.
Unless we help them.
If war breaks out, then citizens in a country could switch allegiance, but you don't have the right to usurp authority and kill a governing official in your country because you think he's wrong. God did not give that kind of authority to individuals. If he did, you'd have nothing but sanctioned anarchy always, because people always think the government is wrong. Whether the government is right or wrong, most of the people will think it's wrong.
Well, that's what was kind of throwing me, because I know you'd stated that. But
yeah, once a war breaks out, then like a German who wanted to kill Hitler before the war would be wrong in killing him. Just like it'd be wrong for somebody to kill a president of a country when the president appoints pro-abortion judges.
Yeah.
It'd be wrong. God did not give us the authority to do such things. But when war breaks out, then a German citizen could basically switch allegiances and under the authority of the Allies kill the Führer. And it would be right as part of the war.
Here's hoping that we do free Iraq. And,
no,
and
Kirk.
I think there is
no, Kirk, it's not going
to
happen, man. Kirk, it's not going to happen. We're not going to war with Iraq.
Well, you think?
I've
you
given
don't
up.
Think so?
I've lost all hope. No, well, Bush talked about it too much, and now the UN's involved. It's just not going to happen.
Well, getting entangled with the UN was the first mistake he made. But
I think it's going to happen. You know, it's interesting. The day of 9/11 and the next day, the day of 9/11, I was on the air with Larry Bates at IRN. In fact, during the attack, as it was unfolding in a special report. And the next day, we did that 9/11 America Under Attack, a Christian Response at Denver Bible Church. And we said from that moment that Afghanistan, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda had to be destroyed. We had to take apart the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. And we had to kill Saddam Hussein and destroy his regime. Right. We had to do those things in response to 9/11. And so I still think we're going to do it in Iraq. We'll be back right after this. Live commercial break. This is listener-supported radio. Now, Doug, nobody's going to support us now.
No.
That we said that the Republican Party is not going to solve our nation's problems.
Yeah. The caller earlier was asking, why did the television show go off the air? It's because slowly but surely, you pretty much alienated just about everyone in the audience.
Yeah, because Christian conservatives are all Republicans.
Yeah, they are.
Now we don't call them. We call them Republicans.
Yeah. What's with the? I think that your accent is a little off there.
Republicans.
The Republicans.
They're Republicans.
Yeah.
Because Jesus was fed up with the publicans in the Bible.
Oh yeah, the publicans.
And the publicans were complete political failures.
Right. Right.
And so we just thought, well, let's try it again. Maybe it'll work this time.
Yeah, right, right.
And Jesus doesn't have any warm spot in his heart for the publicans second time around.
No, I don't think he's all that happy with them.
No.
But boy, do they have cushy jobs, and they make a lot of money. Mm. I mean, it's cost of living's high in D.C., but when you're making 10 to 25 grand a month, you know, and what do you do? You walk around shuffle paper all day, you know?
So anyway, Doug, we want people to support Bob and Your Live, order our monthly albums, order the plot, order our videos.
Right.
And they're going to be upset now for about 2 months.
Right. It's going to take a while to rebuild those bridges.
2 months. They're going to be upset.
Right, because they're all in election time frenzy.
Right.
To get the Republicans in office.
Right. And if the Republicans win, taxes go up, spending goes up.
Right. Welfare goes up.
What was the federal deficit this past year?
$187 billion?
It was huge.
Well.
It was huge.
Yeah. But there was
a war.
And
that's so normal when Republicans are in the White House.
That's true. That's true. They fritter away an awful lot of money up there.
And they brag that they spend it on welfare and education and every possible bureaucratic government program.
Helping us raise our children.
Right.
Because they care about our children.
Fully funded education.
Fully funded with metal detectors and armed police officers. That costs a lot of money.
Right.
They need to fully fund that kind of stuff.
That's true. Yeah. See, now we shouldn't be doing this in the commercial break.
That's right. This is, we're like doing the show.
We're
wait a minute,
frittering
though.
Away our commercial airtime.
You know what? Read the first 5 days. Bob's got an unpublished manuscript called The First 5 Days. We sell it here. What does that one cost?
First 3 days.
The first 3 days?
It's shrunk.
It's shrunk? Anyway, it's about a good government.
A good government. What a good government would do, they'd force you to pay to support this show. Burt Wagner. Me up.
He did?
But let's not talk
about
let's it on
not,
the air.
We're not going to... Anyway, I'm not going to quote... anyway, no. Let's just continue. let's see. Was Kirk done?
Was Kirk done?
I'm still here.
Kirk!
I want to get you in a little more trouble.
We got to go to Brent in just one moment in Plymouth, Indiana. So go ahead, Kirk.
I have just one question. Yeah, I mean, I saw this situation with Paul Wellstone today, and, you know, I mean, sure, it's
Paul
tragic
who?
For his family, but...
Kirk, for the audience, Paul Wellstone, is that someone, your next-door neighbor? No,
he's the senator from Minnesota, the radically liberal, pro-abort, pro-homosexual, pro-left-wing socialist, everything senator.
Paul Wellstone.
And,
I think it's
tragic for his family, and I don't rejoice in seeing him die, but at the same time, I mean, every politician you hear, including the supposed good conservatives, you know, we're talking about what a great guy Paul Wellstone is.
He's the most wonderful child killer that America... has more
passionate about his child killing views
and a compassionate child killer.
Right, and we have to respect his passion, don't we?
Yes,
he was a passionate
right.
man.
Right, in fact, even George W. Bush. So politics, democracy brings out the worst in everyone.
Ugh.
We don't have to say what a great guy Paul Wellstone is just because he died.
He's a perv. He's a pervert supporting child killer.
Wow,
oh, man,
he's in hell right now. Do you think God is praising?
What
Paul
a nice
Wellstone's
guy he was, his
accomplishments.
Passion. Yeah.
God has sent him straight to hell with his campaigning wife and daughter, tragically.
Yeah. They're all in hell right now, live in hell.
That's right. They didn't lose consciousness or anything.
No.
They're in hell, and they realize now that Jesus Christ was the creator, is the creator, and he was mad that they were killing kids for money, for profit, for power.
Not only killing kids, they were teaching the young people to kill kids, passing laws, making killing kids legal. They killed kids under color of law, which God hates even more than killing kids.
Yeah, and that,
you know,
Doug,
the scary
you know
thing
what?
Is, I bet Jerry Falwell wouldn't even say that. He's so involved in politics these days.
Yeah,
hey,
well,
hey Kirk.
It's another reason why to support Bob Enyart Live, because you do hear the unadulterated truth.
So at least Paul Wellstone is finally on fire for God.
Amen, right. Brother. He's on fire for the Lord. And that story must have. How'd that get by us, Bob?
I don't know. So that happened today. We thought it was a no news day.
We had nothing.
Yes, he died today in a plane crash in Minnesota.
Wow.
So he changed his address.
Yeah. And so now, you know,
Hey, the liberals think there is no afterlife.
Right. That's
so
true.
So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that he's dead.
Nothing matters.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, if we just evolve from animals, we're slime. There's no right or wrong. There's no judgment day. There's no God. There's no life after death.
Right.
What does it matter? If you kill millions of Jews, you enslave blacks, it doesn't matter.
Kill children?
None of it matters.
If Paul Wellstone was truly a man who could consider himself to be progressive, he should have evolved the ability to fly on his own by now. And he obviously hadn't done that.
All right, Kirk. Thanks for getting us in trouble. Thanks for ruining the last bit of support we had on this show.
Bob, you know, it's been said that you shouldn't speak ill of the dead, and that if you don't have anything nice to say about the dead, you should probably just say nothing. But, okay, we're not off the air.
Brent in Plymouth, Indiana, speak your mind.
Yes, Bob. I was calling about the guy in Bourbon, and do we have more than 3 minutes?
We do.
Okay. I'd like to thank you for giving up the Microsoft deal and going with what's right.
Amen, brother.
And,
are we lucky or what?
Well, that's kind of you, Brent. I used to work for Microsoft and quit. Well, really, I worked for PC Week, and eventually I quit that career to go full-time fighting abortion, homosexuality, evolution, all that. But thank you. That's kind of you, Brent.
Yes, and doing what's right is more important. And I was calling about the guy in Bourbon or anybody, any group that's around South Bend where you used to be out of Lissy and all that.
Yeah.
And trying to find some place where you can focus more on what's right than, you know.
Do you mean you're looking
for? Going on. It's hard to find a good church in my area.
A good church. A good church is hard to find.
Oh, man. Yeah. And in my area, I live in a small town. It's getting bigger, but.
We hear the lament from people, Christians all over the country, that, you know, they're taught you have to forgive everyone and
be tolerant.
You can't judge. And it's almost like Christians don't know anything else to say. It's like they went to Hillary Rodham Clinton School for ministry, and they only say the things that Hillary would say.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Stick with the cliches and everybody will like you.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
Yeah, when I found you, it was like, oh, yes. And I was just trying to find a group or any people who just in this area.
Well, here's what I would recommend. Going to, you know, the place to talk about issues that come up on this show is on the web at Theology Online.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Theology. I stay away from computers because most of it's not good. I know yours is.
No, you're right. You're right. The internet is terrible. Don't get the internet just for Bob and your live, but you could go to a public library and log on to theologyonline.com, join a forum, and then you'll find people in your area who are like-minded.
Yeah, maybe you could start at least just a Bible study or just get together, you know, have dinner, talk with some people who don't drive you insane.
That's the problem, finding them people who believe what's right.
Now, Brent, you should come out and visit us at Denver Bible Church.
I plan on it this winter. I called you earlier about actually Dayton in the Philippines.
Oh, Philippine call.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember you.
And that's one of the big things. So it's kind of like, well, I'll go to that and see what I find.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably what I'm going to have to do, go to the public library.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and so through Theology Online, you should be able to find more like-minded people in your area.
Yeah, it just got scary at a lot of different churches and a lot of different things, and it was like
very frustrating.
Yeah,
and then I heard that Bourbon call, and it was like, hey.
Yeah, that's not far, right?
No, it's not far. I'll drive an hour or 2 hours. That's not a problem.
Well, that was Tommy. There's a lot of people in South Bend who are friends of the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of people. So, all right. Hey, Brent. God bless you.
Yay. Thanks for doing what you do.
Oh, you're very welcome. Appreciate the call.
How cool is that?
Yeah, nice guy, right?
No, no. I mean that you forewent the stock options at Microsoft. How cool is that? You could have been, I mean, you could have been worth a sizable sum.
Yeah, we might have been able to be on in the morning drive time.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have turned out this way. You wouldn't have been a talk show host.
Well, it's hard.
You'd
to
have
say.
Had to devote your life to advancing the career of Bill Gates.
Yeah.
That would be depressing.
All right, let's go to Aurora, Colorado.
Aurora, the K-Man.
K-Man, you're on with Doug McBurney and Bob Enyart.
How you doing, my brothers? Ignite inside Jesus, amen?
Amen. I remember this guy. K-Man is involved in a youth ministry in Aurora, and it's good to have you call back, K-Man.
Well, thank you, Jesus, amen. Well, I'm not involved like I was before, but God wills I'll be involved with again, amen?
Hey, man, every day you walk and talk, you're involved, right?
Hey, got to be amen.
All right.
Now, amen. What, I enjoy you guys. Amen. You guys are way too fun.
Is he saying amen or K-man or hey man?
Well, it's a combination, amen.
Hey man, K-man, amen, K-man, amen.
Now, K, can I call you K?
You know.
You can call me K or K-man, whatever you want to call me, my brother.
Now
as long as you don't call me late for dinner, amen.
All right. Now, it says up on our high-tech board here that you called about the plane crash. Now, was there a plane crash?
Yeah, I was actually not directly on that, but just to send the condolences to the family of the crash and stuff, and
we understand that we don't know, and the pilot of the plane and the crew members were probably not associated with the child killing policies of Senator Wellstone,
but the staff members were.
The staff members,
three
his
staff
wife,
members, wife and daughter.
Yeah, they were all pro-abortion child killers.
Child killers. And yeah. So if a plane goes down with a bunch of Nazis during World War II...
We say amen.
Yeah, right.
Well, I won't necessarily say that.
We say K-man.
Amen.
K-man.
I agree with it. Amen. Speak the truth to your love. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Well, and I love when child killers meet their maker.
Yeah, I love it. I love the idea of someone who says that killing children is not only good and just and right, but legal. I love the idea of them coming face to face with the almighty living God. I love that idea.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to disagree with you in that way. And,
well,
and
you
the thing is,
you think it'd be better for them not to meet God?
To stay
here
and kill kids?
The thing is this. Who was supposed to be the evangelist? Who was supposed to be the person that would reach them? If someone had reached them, the one that was called to reach each one, maybe they wouldn't be child killers and gone involved with that.
Well,
it's very important for each one of us to do what the Lord's called us to do, amen? And if I
K-Man, hold on. K-Man, hold on a minute. You make one point. Let's take one point at a time. If somebody's wicked and they murder innocent people, you don't automatically blame that on the Church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No, oh, because not blaming on the Church of Jesus
you
Christ,
just did. You just
who
did.
Was supposed,
you said,
who
K-Man, you just did.
Who was supposed to meet them? I'm not blaming on the Church of Jesus Christ.
K-Man, listen. How do you know that Christians did not give them the gospel very clearly? Why would you make that insinuation?
Well, the thing is,
maybe they're going to hell.
What I'm saying is this.
Yeah.
This is my point right here.
Go ahead.
Is this?
I hope it's a better point than the last one.
Well, my brother.
And quick.
That's why I like you, amen. We speak the truth in love, amen. Get right down to it, amen.
Almost out of time, brother.
Okay. It says right here in Ezekiel 18:23, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked shall die?"
Right.
Say the Lord God. And not that he should return
amen,
from
K-Man.
His ways and live. Now, the thing is that we shouldn't wish any bad thing on anyone. And the thing is that the Lord will deal with that, and the Lord deals with the wicked.
Oh, yeah,
amen.
He does. He's
but
dealing with
us,
some right now, tonight.
Me,
God
I'm
loves.
I'm not going to wish anything bad on
God.
On
God.
Those, and I don't think we
all
should.
Right.
K-Man,
we're almost out of time.
The same thing.
All right, put you on hold, K-Man.
God bless you, K-Man.
You gave your verse. God is the one who's going to send them to hell.
Yeah.
God is the one.
Yeah.
And God's not schizophrenic. God would rather the wicked repent. But when they don't repent, God tells us that the righteous rejoice when they see the vengeance.
Amen. And you know what? I guarantee you that growing up in America for 56 years, Paul Wellstone knew of the light, but he loved darkness more.
Yeah.
And he deserves what he's getting in hell tonight.
Amen, Doug, man.
Live.
Yeah.
Live from hell, Paul Wellstone.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Man, I love the K, man. I still love him. Aww. I hope he's
We're out of time. And I wanted him to hear about Ezekiel. Oh, we're out of time.
Next,
this is Bob Ennett reminding you to do right.